Brady and Belichick have been at the forefront of the credit in New England for the last 20 years.
OTB's American Football Show, The Snap on OTB Sports Radio.
Burrow very much thrown in the deep end. He seems to have the correct temperament. I've never been totally won over by his actual talent, to be honest.
Keep updated with American football on OTB. Tune into The Snap every Friday on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Right, delighted to say we are joined now by Graham Hunter. Graham, how are you getting on?
Robustly. It's not really what you're asking, but we've just moved house across the city of Barcelona. And at the moment, it's bumper one, Barcelona nil. So okay. I suppose they're packaged up neatly is the answer to your question.
What sort of neighbourhood have you moved into? Have you moved up in the world is the quick question, I guess.
Yeah, the second part of that is fatuous. That's ridiculous. It's impossible for me, born with talents I have, to move up in the world. What kind of neighbourhood? One that probably doesn't deserve me, to be fair enough.
Okay, we'll take that at face value, whatever that means. A neighbourhood that doesn't deserve you. Does Barcelona deserve Lionel Messi? I guess is what we're going to start off with here.
It's like we worked on these links. You're good.
Everything's fine and rosy in the garden again, isn't it? Everybody's forgiven Lionel Messi. He's back at training. Yeah. Things are all good again.
It's not about forgiving. I don't think that's the central issue, and I think you know that well. I think that what's key is that he's there on sufferance, and it's a funny contrast that his people, his father, the team around him took pretty significant legal advice, detailed legal advice, consulted somebody who'd served on the court for arbitration in sport, and prepped up what they thought would be legal evidence that they were free to leave. And when the whole thing breaks down, Leo Messi said, well, I would never take Barcelona to court. So you're talking about a real mix of hot and cold water, in that the cold water was that the deal with City was pacted out. What will it be like in terms of playing, living, and being paid? That was long pacted out. The decision to leave was taken in a moment of hot water. It had been there on his mind for months and months. I think we now know that clearly through sources who have spoken. Certainly I've talked to people who work with the family and who say this was an ongoing discussion for months. And Messi's interview, which was clear-cut, and I take to be both frank and honest one, with Goal.com, where he says that off and on across the season, he told the president that he wanted to go. So the heat, the hot water comes after the 8-2. And the clash of saying, I've got lots of legal advice, but I would never take Barcelona to court, that talks to you about a deeply conflicted lad. I mean, I still think he's a lad, despite being 33. And I'm not calling him outright, immature or boyish, but his unwillingness to go the full mark in leaving the club means that, and he said so himself, that he's staying under sufferance. And I find that a contradiction, that you're willing to stay, that you accept staying under sufferance in a place you don't want to be. You feel betrayed by the people above you, and you feel dismayed by some of the playing resources around you. And it's my prediction, it's not back. I think it's going to be a difficult relationship between Koeman and Messi. All of those things, yet you're not willing to follow a legal route and say, we think we've got proof that legally we're allowed to leave. It's a very contradictory situation. Messi's back at training, first of all on his own, because his coronavirus tests that he took were delayed. So the first training session, they didn't have full results. And now he'll be integrated into the training where Barcelona and Atleti and Madrid have got a delayed start to the season because they were in Lisbon with the Champions League, and there's some small concession being made to the fact that we're that we're squeezing the juice out of our top footballers like never before in the history of the sport. So there's a couple of weeks before Barcelona start, and Messi's got a mini pre-season to go through, just like the rest of his teammates. So I don't think, oh, genuinely, I don't think it's a case of people around him forgiving him. I think the key to the situation is that he's unhappy. And if there were to be, even though it was peace in our time, you know, there was a real Neville Chamberlain thing going on a couple of Fridays ago, wasn't there? There's the transfer market's still open. He still doesn't want to be at Barcelona. He's going on record as saying he feels betrayed. I'm not saying a move is still going to happen, but I personally won't discount a move completely until the market shuts.
Right. So, I mean, to flip that on its head then, how heavily would you count on a further development in this, a further flare-up in tensions before the market closes?
Well, there's two different things. A flare-up in tensions before the market closes, I would think is pretty, if it's not inevitable, I think it's significantly on the cards. Koeman has got 1 year, a one shot at this. He's already a pretty ruthless man, utterly self-confident. And he won't stand for anything that he doesn't like. It doesn't mean that all his judgments will be correct. But the possibility of Messi saying something, doing something, you know, an expression like this in training, coming out a little bit late, not late, but tight. You know, it was from the Neymar days when it was Neymar, Suarez and Messi walking out last to training every day. To then being just Suarez and Messi walking out last to training every day. And sometimes on the button of 11 o'clock, if it was an 11 session. So by the time you're actually out on the pitch, maybe it's a minute past. These things won't wash with Koeman, and that doesn't necessarily make him right, because there needs to be elasticity if you're dealing with the greatest player of modern, all time, take your pick. So flare-ups, I think there's a reasonable chance. That's a euphemism. But the departure, I said, you know, I'm not advancing, I've got snout. It wasn't me kidding on that somebody saying to me, don't worry, this is still happening. I'm telling you, Barcelona are still in serious debt. They still have to pay him 100 million euros this season coming. Bartomeu won the big battle, you know, inverted commas, imposed himself, fed his own ego. He's still going to go back and look at the accounts. He's still going to talk to Koeman over the coming weeks. All I would say is that we would be stupid not to notice that Messi is unhappy, wanted to leave. He's got a home waiting for him at City, and the market's not closed. I mean, no more than that. But why would we, given how extreme a point the breakdown of his relationship with Bartomeu and the board that will be running the place, and how tense it's likely to be, the relationship between him and the coach, we would be stupid not to be thinking, okay, well, the market is still open and it's feasible that Bartomeu goes. I mean, let's say a PR man was whispering in Bartomeu's ear. You've won the big war. You've made him stay. Now you can look magnanimous and you can say, we've accepted. City's briefing is, we want him free or nothing at all, but there's always flexibility. Let's say somebody's whispering in Bartomeu's ear, we've decided, we've thought long and hard, Leo, we've proved our point, we won that battle. Now we have to accept that Leo is one of our all-time greats, and we'll find a way to help him. But all that kind of doublespeak. Can't you imagine that happening? And him rubbing his hands if he's got some big seven-figure sum from Manchester City and he gets rid of 100 million euros of salary. All I'm saying is it would be naive.
Oh, we just appear to have lost the connection there with Graham, and we'll get back to him in just a moment. So naive to think that this thing is signed, sealed and delivered, Ger. That he's a Barcelona player, that is.
I mean, everything Graham says there makes sense. And if you're Ronald Koeman and this is your one shot at glory and you kind of need to be unbelievably successful next season, are you going to be successful with an annoyed Leo Messi who doesn't want to play for you? I mean, you've got to assume that Messi's personal drive will still be as naked as it always has been, and so he will play well next year, irrespective of the mood music around him. Because, you know, it's like those stats all matter, those goals still matter, those wins, and the European Cup still matters. But is there any chance of this Barcelona team at the moment winning the European Cup without the radical surgery that you're going to be able to undertake better if you don't have that 100 million and his group on the playing staff? Well, very unlikely, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. Like, I know Graham's back with us now. Graham, like, no matter what happens over the next little while, how deep is the damage to the relationship between Lionel Messi and the Barcelona fans? Is it silly to suggest that perhaps the incredible legacy that he's already created at the club might be a little bit tainted?
We live in, I know it's one of the most invidious questions in journalism, you know, what do the fans think, because they're a large mass, I'm one. We're in the middle of a pandemic. There are no crowds at the ground to sing their frustration or their happiness. So all I can give you is an estimate. And I think that while everybody will have an opinion based upon that age-old, hoary question of nobody's bigger than the club, that will be at the heart of the debate. My opinion is that the things that they've, not just the trophies that have been brought, the things they've seen Messi do in their colours over the years will mean that by an overwhelming majority, people will either support Messi or tolerate him. I think you always also have to take into account that they've watched themselves, the majority of the fans, the misappropriation of the Cruyff, Beguerestein, Guardiola legacy and the mishandling of the transfer market and the deep suspicion that there is no good reason for Barcelona to be in the situation of debt that they are right now, nor a good reason for them to have failed so spectacularly in football terms, both in terms of the last coach that they appointed and several of the most recent signings. So overall, whether that would be instantly the case if you had a snap poll right in the middle of the last 2 weeks, whether everybody would be in favour of Messi or not, okay, that's a different question. Overall, they owe him so much. That was a bad expression. They love him. And love means forgiving.
Greg, can we talk about what the actual team might look like? Let's say they don't get a deal done, right? And they don't take that money off the wage bill, because there's a strong possibility that that does happen as well. What will Ronald Koeman's team look like when the transfer window closes, do you think?
It's one of the exciting things. It shouldn't have taken him to be the first to say the Emperor's got no clothes on. But before he signed, he was pointing out De Jong's been playing in the wrong position. Griezmann's been playing in the wrong position. Now, that sounds, you know, the cat sat on the mat in football terms, because we could all see it. But thank the Lord, he's come out and said it. And therefore, what we are aware is that De Jong playing in the formation that Koeman used at Holland and that was predominantly used in De Jong's breakthrough years at Ajax was 4-2-3-1, with De Jong in the middle of the two organising, you know, slots, either with Pjanic or Busquets next to him, and then some agglomeration of Ansu maybe on the left, Messi at 10, Griezmann on the right coming onto his left foot where he can happily play, and a striker. So Ansu can become the 9. That's a 17-year-old who's still quite slight, irrespective of his talent and pace, being asked to do things that, for example, hold the ball up with his back to goal isn't in his repertoire because he's so small. But he can play in certain games where you're going forward and you're not asked to hold the ball. Maybe you're playing away from home and slightly on the counter. Ansu at 9 makes perfect sense. They're trying to sign Depay. In my opinion, whether he's elite footballer or not, I suspect his character is going to find it hard at Football Club Barcelona. And I suspect that he's not a chabby Victor Font player. So in a year's time, when they come in as a partnership, the pie will be dispensed with. So my opinion is it'll be 4-2-3-1. I've named most of the positions. I think they'd like to replace Semedo if they can. And I think that's right to do. Of course, they'll be starting the season with Neto in goals, not Ter Stegen. He's had an operation on his knee. He'll miss 8-9 weeks, I think. So the one thing that's probably left is that Bartomeu is absolutely, utterly determined to get rid of Suarez. It's nearly done to Juventus. I think it's a bad mistake. A rejuvenated team doing the running for Suarez as the one forward in a 4-2-3-1 would probably, in my opinion, would leave Suarez with a 20-goal season and the end of his contract. But they're at Bartomeu is effectively what's going on. Bartomeu isn't making football judgment on Suarez at nine. That one position left open for discussion. And they can't afford Lautaro Martinez at the moment unless there's some massive change of policy on behalf of Inter about taking swap deals or whatever. Anyway, at any rate, Suarez, Bartomeu is saying, I want the club back. I'm the president. The club no longer belongs to Messi and Suarez. I'm going to break Suarez off from Messi at the hip and send him away. And it's become a purge. And I think it's a big mistake.
If the Messi deal does go through, and does that then automatically mean that more people come in, or is it actually just a bam on the financial fire that they have in the background?
Yeah, Ger, I don't know. It's so speculative that all I'm saying is that window is not closed, and we'd be dull if we didn't note it. If for some reason the deal were to happen and he went to Manchester City, there would be a freeing up of cash. But if it happened, you know, at what stage in the market, who would be available? Their mega goal is to bring Lautaro Martinez, a goal scorer, and get rid of Suarez. If Messi suddenly wasn't there, would Lautaro be as keen to come? I don't know the answer to that question, but would they have much more money? Yes, they would.
That makes sense.
One of the elements of this now is going to be Ronald Koeman and trying to stamp his things, stamp his own philosophy on things. And like, is it too simple to say that, say, the Genie Wijnaldum links that are now being that are now present in the media is a Ronald Koeman crusade, that the influx of transfers that might happen before the end of the window is going to be the sign of Ronald Koeman saying, I'm not just here until Xavi comes in, I'm here for the long haul?
He's got a big voice. He's got a bigger voice than coaches would normally have had back as far as Guardiola, really, because since then, the coach of Barcelona would have a voice and I want this type of player, please. And then the football director would go and put names and prices and profiles and ages to that. Now Koeman does have Bartomeu and Ramon Plan as the technical director, if not over a barrel, then quite close to it. He's bailed them out. They need him. They can't be affording sacking somebody else or somebody else quitting on them mid-season in Bartomeu's last year, where he wants to create enough of a role of goodwill. Good luck with that, Josep Maria, such that one of his candidates can win the elections whenever they are. So, yeah, he'll have a voice, and Wijnaldum could play at 10 if Messi wasn't there. Wijnaldum could play in behind Depay. Of course he could.
Can I ask about Madrid and the situation there? Because we've been hearing that the transfer market is completely skewed by COVID and the fears of many clubs that they're not going to have match day income, and really interested to see exactly how TV deals are going to be reconstituted over the next year. So there's been in some instances, there's been a battening down of the hatches. Jurgen Klopp obviously having a go at the oligarchs and the state-owned clubs for continuing to spend. Real Madrid, not quite a state-owned club. Sometimes they write the rules as if they were, but we haven't really seen them invest massively in this window. Is that simply to do with the global economic situation? Was that always planned? What is the scenario there? Do they have any cash that they're sitting on waiting for a deal later in the market?
I believe you're talking, my connection dropped. I believe you're talking about Real Madrid, and it's a policy decision with them. And if you're trying to understand Real Madrid, then you have to begin at the fact that they have a bloated squad, not only bloated in numbers, but giant amassment of talent. And Zidane doesn't want to work with a 32, 33-man squad. Nobody in the modern game does. They talk about short squads, long squads. The fact is that Madrid probably want to be working with a hardcore of 21, 22 footballers. And I think that it's really important to understand that Madrid are a selling club at the moment. They've raised about 65, 70 million in terms of getting people out. And they most certainly want another four or five players out in this market, at which point I refer you back to your idea about, you know, if Messi was on the wage bill, would Barcelona be able to spend more? Madrid are largely being touted, which is a market tactic, as not spending anything in this market, so that people's expectations are going down. If they suddenly come knocking in the last week of the market, people aren't going to massively inflate the prices. The idea is to sell to buy, but sell in order to make the squad leaner, because Zidane runs a happy training ground, and what he does not want is five or six players, including Gareth Bale, lounging around knowing that they don't have to put in massive effort at Valdebebas every working day because they're not going to play at the weekend. That's anathema to every leading coach.
Bale, and the suggestion in the papers today that they're going to actually spend money to pay half his wages. This is what we've seen with various clubs trying to get people off the wage bill, like Alexis Sanchez. Has it reached that point where they're essentially paying a club to take Gareth Bale off their hands?
Well, the argument is about whether Bale gets paid up for the remainder of his contract, which would be a larger sum than, for example, paying a season, splitting a season 50-50 on his wages. So as bizarre as it sounds, punting out, what would the sum be? He's on about 17 net of taxes, that's 34. So if the taxes are picked up by the club that takes Bale, you're talking about something in the region of 8.5 or 9 and for a season, compared to paying up the couple of seasons at 17 million plus tax that Bale is still due. So the argument isn't about really whether Bale wants to leave or whether Real Madrid want him out. It's about on what terms. Now, without being harsh on Bale, who I've defended on this show in the past, where I felt that his impact and the importance that he had in winning trophies, not just for winning goals, was being underestimated in some degree in Britain and Ireland. Now, I despair of him a little bit. He is at an age where he can still be dominant. Athletically, he's still in good shape. He says he misses playing football. He comes alive, or tries to, when he's playing for Wales. For him to realise the remaining potential in his career, and I think there's still a lot of it, he has to play. And he and his agent need to give up on this. Well, we're not moving unless you pay us up the remaining couple of years of our contract. He's vastly wealthy. It's inane, in my book, that you prioritise a certain sum of money over a couple of years, whereby if you don't use them well, you'll never get them back. The money can come again in future, you know, through advertising, through sponsorship, through whatever you like. So I wish Jonathan Barnett would give his client different advice.
Graeme Hunter, thanks a million for taking the call this morning. Best of luck with the new house.
Thanks, lads.
Graeme Hunter there on the line.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.